Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Guys, I have never, ever seen anything like this. This guy, Alex Berson, hacked into Apple and Microsoft and a dozen of other companies with this trick. Might I say infamous, but beautiful. Never crossed my mind that you can do something like that so elegantly, yet so mysterious. He did, obviously, he followed the right security channel. He's a security researcher. He followed the right channel. People know about this research. But how about we jump into it and see how did he do that? How did he infiltrate Apple, Microsoft, dozen of other companies? How did he do that? Let's just jump into it. Guys, the trick here is, you know, this beautiful package management, right? We have this on Ubuntu, Python have pip. Node have NPM, Ruby have, you know, gems, whatever it's called, Ruby gems, I think. But the package managers are very, very popular, okay? Because in the days of Windows, you have to download a DLL and reference it in your project to have a library, right? But these days, everything is on the internet. Just like, hey, NPM install package, blah, all of a sudden this will be downloaded from an NPM repository, right? So it's a centralized, publicly available for you to grab. So convenient, the developer ergonomics, is that the right word? Ergonomics, the developer's ergonomics is frictionless. People love this stuff. So what he said, look, just look what he did. Okay, I'm gonna go through. So we know this stuff, right? And we know the links that we have, how sticky packages get. Once you have to you want to build a project, there's a library that does X. You reference it in your project, and all of a sudden, now you become a library for other person to reference your library, which references the first person library. So if there is a stinking bug in that original one, you just inherited. If there is a security vulnerability, you just inherited. It's just intertwined. And he explained this in this beautiful, beautiful diagram. Might I say, very beautiful. So good of a diagram. But look at this, guys. The idea. So what did you have, Alex? What was your idea, Alex? What did you do? While attempting to hack PayPal with me during the summer of 2020, Justin Gardner shared an interesting bit of Node.js source code found on GitHub. So it's sort of like a separate incident. He managed to take a peek on GitHub package.json, which is the Node.js though. Look at this stuff. This is just an innocent package.json. But no, Alex will look at this and says, huh, that's a beautiful package.json. How can I use it? Express is a very popular database package, right? Dust.js, I have no idea what the hell is that. Continuation local storage, probably something public that does that stuff. But look at that. He flagged these beautiful four PayPal packages. It's like, look at that. Oh, PayPal, off PayPal. I didn't remember seeing an auth PayPal public NPM package. So he looked it up, and guess what? It wasn't there. That means PayPal internally have an NPM registry that is private, and they hosted those beautiful four packages on their NPM. Hossein, what are you doing? What are you getting into? We'll get into it, guys. This is just fantastic. So he said, okay, those are private packages. Here are the questions that he asked himself. Look how genius Alex is. Alex, this is beautiful. This is a top highlight because this is nuts. I have never seen anything like this before. And you might say, Hossein, you're just over-exaggerating. Maybe, because I'm just baffled by this. Let's read. What happens if malicious code is uploaded to NPM under those names? A public NPM with those names uploaded publicly. Is it possible that some PayPal internal project will start defaulting to the new public packages instead of private ones? He asked himself, well, we have no idea how NPM prioritize stuff. Does it look publicly first and then go private, or does it look privately and then go public? God knows. Who knows, right? So he said, okay. And then the address question, will developers or even automated systems start running the code inside the libraries? That's a very good question. If it works, we get a bug bounty out of it. Well, we'll find out. Because he was like thinking about just that, right? Would this attack work? And guess what, guys? It actually did. So here's what he did. He just created an NPM package that's called PP Logger. PP. That's a funny name. PP. PP Logger. And auth PayPal. And then he put the malicious code into them. And you might say, Hossein, all right, what is he going to put in there? No. If you thought he's going to put some stupid virus or something that phones home into a C2 command and conquer, I keep saying command control. I played a lot of Yuri's Revenge and Red Alert, so mind me if I keep saying command and conquer. So he's going to put, like, he can contact command and conquer, command control, some IP addresses in order to make this a zombie machine. No, that won't work. Why? Because this is, we're getting into Apple and Microsoft and other packages, right? The people who's going to start downloading this stuff, they're going to be behind nasty, harsh firewall systems that burn anything that resembles shady. Anything that looks shady is going to be... If you're going to make a post request to some attacker.com website to pull some information, no. Microsoft is going to block you. They only allow certain domain to inbound. Is it outbound? Outbound, right? Going from inside, outside. Only certain thing. The firewall is going to burn everything to the ashes. He put something completely different. So his trick worked, guys. He got a lot of installs from a lot of companies. Because guess what? PayPal, a lot of people started using PayPal this as an internal method, apparently, right? So he got some people from Apple, Microsoft, and other companies. But how? What did he put in the script? Let's zoom in. This innocent thing that's called, it's always DNS. Before we jump into the DNS, guys, this is something called a pre-install. And I have no idea how many videos I made. Shady NPM packages that people just install that have been there for 3 weeks, right? And NPM is literally a cesspool of all this garbage, malicious scripts. You can literally go in there and do an rm-rf dot and push it into an NPM registry, and they will allow you to do that. It's a mess out there. It's the security to ramp up this needs a lot of work. It's a mess out there. So, and you can do this pre-install script where it will essentially, once you install that package, it will run it immediately, which is even more disastrous. So there's a trick where you can install stuff without installing the pre-install script, so you can run it manually. But that's outside the scope of this video. But look, what did Alex do? What script, what malicious, nasty script did you do to copy? He managed to steal the host names, usernames, I believe IP address and some other information. He just chose these three information. He could have done way more. But look, and the path, the current path as well. How did he do it? You cannot just send this information to a post request to some outside and site, because that's going to be flagged immediately. He snuck them into DNS. Let me say, Hussein, what are you talking about? You cannot carry data in DNS. Yeah, you cannot. But look what he did. Hope you can see this picture without my stupid face right here. Look at that. I'm going to zoom in right here. You can see it. Internet. This is the internet talk. This is the firewall. So DNS regular traffic usually will get blocked if it's to something that it shouldn't go, right? Firewall immediately will flag this stuff. You can might sneak in one or two, but the third one is going to be blocked. But DNS are totally fine. So what he said, okay, I'm going to host a DNS server on hostname attacker.com. So I'm going to host a DNS entry. So I'm going to build a custom DNS server that is hosting this particular name, attacker.com, right? That's just a domain. I say, well, it's like, what's the big deal with this? Yeah. So you can go with GoDaddy or Enum or anything to do your hosting, right? But for root resolutions, you can point to a custom domain name to any query that is asking for attacker.com or something.attacker.com. Always have to phone you as the authoritative DNS server. That's how DNS works. So always ask up and up and up and up until it finds the final server to answer its question. Okay, so that's how DNS works. That's how .com, right? It's like Google.com. You have to. It goes to a lot of layers of DNS until it reaches the .com itself, right? And I'm gonna reference a video that I did. Chrome had a bug for years where in the Omnibox, when you type something, it was essentially always querying the DNS on the search term. So essentially it was always hitting the root servers, which was terrible, right? All the flood from these millions of Chrome, anything that you type eventually is hitting the root servers, thinking as it's at a domain. All right. This is not our topic. But what he did is like, okay, I'm going to make my application harmless. All I'm going to do is take the name of the machine that I'm installed in, take the host name and do a .attacker.com and do a DNS query on this one. That's it. And I'm going to take the username and then do a .attacker.com and then ask a query. And then I'm going to take the path and then insert it into the attacker.com. So what does that do? This, obviously, it's a domain, so the DNS resolver internally is going to ask, hey, do I have a cache of bobpc.attacker.com? Well, I don't, right? So I don't know the IP address, so I'm going to ask an external DNS provider. So firewall says, oh, that's a legitimate, safe DNS query. Let me pass it in, sir. You can go. As you go, eventually it's going to ask a lot of DNS resolvers. None of them know an answer because guess what? There's nothing called bobpc.attacker.com. Who is the authoritative server for attacker.com? That's you, the nasty custom DNS server. So you eventually is going to receive that request. And obviously you don't have the IP address. All we're going to do is you're going to log the fact that someone made a query to bobpc.attacker.com. That means there is a PC named Bob. There is a PC named PopPC, and you save it. The next query, you can put a username there. You can put the path. You can put so much stuff, and the firewall is oblivious of this. I have even no idea how to block this thing, to be honest. This is genius. Let's read this stuff. To strike a balance between the ability to identify an organization based on the data and the need to avoid collecting too much sensitive information, because this guy is like, he's researching, he doesn't want to attack anybody, I settled only on logging the username, hostname, and current path of each unique installation, alongside with the unique external IP addresses. This was just enough data to help security team identify possibly vulnerable systems based on the reports, while avoiding having my testing be mistaken for an actual attack. Right, so he snuck this in. This is genius, guys. Right, look at all the stuff that he found. Yelp, apparently he found something from Yelp, and the results are really interesting, guys. Look at that stuff. I think we can share this. Apple Engineering. Oh, this is his custom DNS. He essentially packaged this nicely, right? So IDMS, PMRPC, he got the IP address, he got the organization, he got all of that stuff, right? And the genius part about this, because you're making a DNS query, the DNS query also have the source IP address, right? So you have more information about where this came from alongside the inside of the query itself, what do you put there, right? And it's genius. And I don't know, how did he get the current path? Did he just shove it into the, did he hash it and encrypt it into the subdomain and then shift it there? I don't know. Maybe that's possible, definitely. But that's a very fantastic. I'm blown away. Maybe I'm exaggerating, guys. But what do you think about this attack, guys? Let me know in the comment section below. I'm gonna see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye, yo.